my talk. Here we go. He said he living life as a gringo. Where you question where you fit in every time you mingle. They say you do this with not enough that. My rapping is really bad. This life as a gringo.
Yes, yes, man. It is finally here, man. My podcast, episode one. Here we are, life as a gringo. Man, I'm so excited. This is like months and months in the making. I don't think people realize just how much work goes into, you know, getting something like this off the ground, man. So I'm so grateful that we are here. And thank you all so much for joining me on the first, you know, rendition of this whole new endeavor, this new space that I'm running with right now. I really do appreciate all the support I've been getting over the last week. I mean, I know a lot of people were checking out the video I made about leaving the Breakfast Club, and there's been so much love, man. So I really do appreciate you guys. Any of y'all that are coming to this podcast from that after what you heard or what you saw with the video, I really do appreciate you guys. And of course, all my day ones who've been with me since we've been doing the quarantine and the afternoon IG lives all last year. I really do appreciate you guys just continuing to show me so much love and support. But man, we here, podcast. Also, big shout out to say, before we get to like the nitty gritty of it all, I do have to shout out to the whole My Cultura podcast network on iHeart for giving me this opportunity to share my voice with so many people and with such a big brand behind. I really do appreciate you guys trusting me. So, man, we out here. It's episode one. And with this one, I wanted to kind of start from what I feel like is the beginning for so many of us and kind of how we live our lives. And a lot of that, man, is influenced by our parents. You know what I mean? And like what we were taught by our parents or what we weren't taught by our parents. So this episode is going to give you free reign to just blame your parents for every negative thing that's ever happened in your life. No, but we're going to talk about it. And it only felt right that I bring on my parents to have this conversation. So I'm definitely a little bit nervous. It's definitely weird interviewing your own parents and bringing them into, you know, into my world a little bit. But I'm excited to kind of get to know them in maybe like a different way than I'm used to. And have some of these conversations, some hard conversations that, you know, we've never really had before. So, man, they're going to be hopping on a little bit. And, of course, I got a bunch of questions coming up from people on Instagram who chimed in and kind of gave me their take on certain things when it comes to their parents. So I'll be reading a bunch of those in just a little bit. And that'll be for our Ask a Gringo segment. And just like a heads up, I mean, I'll explain as the show goes on, but the podcast is broken down into four different segments where I analyze or cover different things throughout the show. So we'll kind of break down what I'm doing with each segment as we go along throughout the show, but just to kind of give you a heads up of how it's all laid out. Before we get into everything, man, I guess I should explain a little bit about what gringo means, because I've been hearing some kind of back and forth from people. I've had some people like who've Googled it and been like, well, let me ask you something. Gringo, from what I can see in the dictionary, it means a person, especially an American, who is not Hispanic or Latino. And yeah, like anything else, there's like a definition and there's also kind of like the slang version of it. And that's kind of what I'm referring to when it comes to life as a gringo. I mean, obviously, or maybe not obviously for some people, but anybody who doesn't know my background, I am 100% Puerto Rican, but I was born here in the States. And there is kind of like this divide that happens between people back on the island of Puerto Rico, like my family back there, and then the people here, born here in the States, just because we're influenced by so much of, I guess, American culture and things like that. And, you know, guilty as charged, my Spanish is pretty trash. So that leads to a lot of things, you know, when it comes to my authenticity being questioned, you know, and it's ironic. I've had like even non-Latinos, like my white friends growing up being like, oh, you're a fake Puerto Rican. Because I didn't speak Spanish properly, you know what I mean? Meanwhile, my dad was born and raised on the island. So definitely an interesting dynamic. And I think my first time, I remember like where it actually hurt that somebody called me a gringo was I was probably like 18 or 19 and was visiting the island. And my aunt, who's only like ironically a few years older than me, it's kind of a weird story. My grandpa was out there doing his thing. But she's only a couple years older than me. She was taking me and a couple of my friends out who were visiting at the time in Puerto Rico. She was going to take us out to some like the bars and stuff. So, you know, I'm like trying to, you know, kick it to some girls and she has this one friend that I'm just feeling, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to, you know, kick it to her. And then my aunt is just like,
yeah, here's my my nephew. He's from the States.
And then I just remember these words coming from her friend who like I was just in love with, her friend saying,
oh, so you're a gringo.
And it was just like, poof. Definitely like took the wind out of my sails a little bit. I probably like tried to respond in like some broken ass Spanish and embarrass myself even more. But it definitely made me feel some type of way. And it was definitely something that I was like always fighting against. And it was ironic also because I remember growing up, like, you know, my white friends, when I started going to school in Jersey and all that, like they would have stuff to say about like the way my house smells, you know what I'm saying? Or like the music that my parents listened to in the car, or like the Spanish novelas that my grandma used to watch at the house. They would always like clown me for that. So it was like, yo, I don't fit in anywhere, kind of, you know? So it was always just like a weird kind of thing. So yeah, as I got older and here we are right now, it's kind of just me like embracing, you know, what that whole word means, and kind of like pulling an Eminem and 8 Mile almost, where you like, you kind of take the ammunition out of your opponent's, you know, proverbial gun, so to speak, you know, by like clowning yourself first and admitting all your faults and owning them, you know? So that's kind of what this is. But yeah, that's the story behind the title Life as a Gringo. And this is just like me talking about life through my eyes and other people who have grown up in a similar fashion, where, you know, you have a part of you that's like, for me, you know, grew up in the New York, New Jersey area and has a lot of pride for that, but also has an extreme amount of pride for where my family's from in Puerto Rico, you know? So that's kind of the whole breakdown of it all. And we'll dive into more things as the show continues to grow. This one, of course, all about our parents, man, and just how much of an effect our upbringings have on us. So let's get into it with our first segment of the show. For the people in the back, where we, you know, we say it real loud and we break down what we're talking about right now for the people in the back.
Say it louder for the people in the back.
All right, so I'll be honest, man. I've kind of like, I've held on to a lot of things when it comes to my parents. And I think it's easier as you get older to realize just how difficult, you know, raising a kid is, and how there are no like rules. There's no, you know, fucking handbook for, you know, how to raise a kid in a healthy manner. Everybody's just kind of doing the best of what they have. But definitely for a long time, I had a lot of resentment towards my parents, just for a number of reasons. Like the biggest thing for me was like, you know, what I felt was a lack of support for my career, you know what I mean? And like my journey in the music and entertainment industry, and wanting to pursue this and not kind of having this like emotional support system that I really felt like I needed, you know, to help pick me up, you know, when it got hard, because it's incredibly hard to make a name for yourself in this industry and try and do anything, you know? And that's something I've always held against him. And it's been more recently that I've kind of just, you know, taken a step back. And even when it comes to like financial things, not things I didn't learn from my parents or whatever the case may be, there's a million things I could sit here and blame on them. But when I take a step back, I begin to realize that, you know, they were roughly around my age, you know what I mean? Or a little bit younger when they had me, you know? So I don't know what the fuck I would do with a kid right now. You know what I mean? I would just do the best I can. I don't have it all figured out, and to think that I had any other expectations, that I would place any other expectations, I should say, on them, is just unfair. But with that said, it is interesting to realize how much of an effect our upbringing, you know, has on us, man. It's crazy to think how much of an effect our parents and their parenting style could have on us. And there's so much stuff that goes into it. Like when you read about some of these studies about parenting, right? Like, I didn't realize, and I'm sure my parents damn well didn't know this, that like they didn't have Google to find all these studies, but like there's all kinds of, you know, studies from psychologists and things like that. And they talk about like different parenting styles and how your parenting style can have an effect on your child as they become an adult and go out into the world. I mean, in the 1960s, a psychologist, Diana Baumrind, she did a study on like a bunch of preschool kids, and she looked at like a bunch of different aspects of their personalities and things like that, and their parents, and just kind of seeing how they all, I guess, interacted in this world and were acting, and realizing that like you can categorize a child's behavior based on like what she would say is a certain parenting style. So they talk about the four parenting styles, and I'll go through this quickly because I don't want to bore anybody. But I think just shit like this is so fascinating to me, because I don't think any of us like really think about breaking this down, like how much of an effect the way that your parent like reprimanded you when you were a kid, how much of an effect that could have. And obviously some people have had lives much more traumatic where like, you know, this is really just nothing and it's nothing to complain about just based on the traumaticness of certain people's upbringings. But just in general, just generally speaking, just I feel like, so we're all kind of maybe aware of psychology and just how all this stuff does affect the way we're brought up. I mean, one of the parenting styles is authoritarian parenting. It says, in this style of parenting, children are expected to follow strict established rules by the parents. And with this, they expect kids to kind of obey without question. And these kids are rewarded for being obedient, you know, and these types of parents are like status oriented. And I think that's very fascinating when you think of like that these parents are status oriented. So like you think of these are the type of parents that like want to be able to brag about, yo, my kid went to this type of school, is doing this type of thing. You know what I mean? Like they're basically kind of, you know, telling their kids to do certain things based upon, man, like, you know, what kind of, I hate to, clout it's going to give them in the parenting world. Is there, if that exists, parental clout, I think definitely is a thing. Now, the impact of this parenting style, the authoritarian parenting style, it generally leads to kids that are obedient and proficient, but they rank lower in happiness, social competence, and self-esteem. And then you have authoritative parenting. And these parents, you know, they establish rules and guidelines that they expect their kids to follow. However, what's different with this one than the previous is that their parenting style is said to be a lot more democratic. So they're a lot more responsive to the children. They're willing to listen to questions. They expect a lot from their kids, but they do actually provide warmth and feedback and adequate support. You know, so they're more so like supporting the kid rather than trying to punish them. They want their kids to be assertive as well as like socially responsible and all those different things. And this parenting style, the authoritative parenting style, it tends to result in children who are happy, capable, and successful. Then you also have permissive parenting. Permissive parents, they say, sometimes referred to as indulgent parents, make a few demands of the children, right? These parents rarely discipline their kids. They have pretty low expectations of maturity and self-control. They kind of take the status of a friend more than that of a parent. Now, this parenting style, the permissive parenting, often results in children who rank low in happiness and self-regulation. These children are more likely to experience problems with authority and tend to perform poorly in school. And the last one is uninvolved parenting. And this also could be known as neglectful parenting. You know, few demands, low responsiveness, very little communication. They fulfill their child's basic needs, but they're generally detached from their child's life. The impact of this parenting style, the uninvolved parent, says the children tend to lack self-control, have low self-esteem, and are less competent than their peers. Now, listen, I don't mean to take you on like a whole fucking, you know, psychology class on parenting in the first episode, but it's interesting to like really think about how much influence our parents have on us. I know it's kind of like, duh, of course they're our parents. But I also think we don't realize like how much of that we are in control of. You know what I mean? How much of that our parents could be in control of if they were just aware of like the long-term effects of some of their actions and the way that they choose to parent us. Like I hope that because this information is so readily available for our generation, man, that we start to try and correct some of the mistakes of you know the past generations. I mean, especially when you're looking at people of color and the black and brown community, I mean, we're all products of like so much struggle, you know, for the most part, most of us. And it's just, you know, it's up to us to kind of correct these problems. And it's up to us to learn from the past generations and the mistakes of the past generations. And a part of that, man, is addressing some of those issues and coming face to face with it and having those hard conversations. And man, as weird as this is, we're going to do so today on the podcast. I'm going to have my parents hop on. And I'm going to have some of those hard conversations that I've sort of been holding on to for years. And hopefully that'll bring me some sort of, I don't know, relief, you know, bring me some sort of information and as opposed to why my parents did certain things the way that they did. Some clarity, I guess, and some comfort, hopefully, you know, and understand more about, I guess, where their head was at when they were doing certain things, you know, and maybe some forgiveness on both ends. I don't know. We'll kind of see. I don't want to lead the way here, but let's just get into it. I'm a little bit nervous. It's ironic. I've interviewed a ton of people in my life, but I think this might be the one interview that I'm the most nervous for. Man, sorry. My parents are going to be hopping on next for the Mi Gente segment of the podcast. But before we get into that, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Mi Gente. All right, well, it's only appropriate that we're doing an episode on parents that I have my actual parents. So making their podcast debut, we have my mother, Nancy. Say hello.
Hi.
My father, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
I want to start with, why didn't you guys teach me Spanish? Let's start there. That's been the greatest failure of my life right now, is not knowing how to speak Spanish.
I I still don't understand how that happened because I've always worked.
Yeah.
I've always worked. And your grandmother, who only spoke Spanish,
right,
was the one that took care of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it hard to understand why you never learned the language, because I felt you were exposed to it.
Mm-hmm. You never taught it to me, though.
When you say taught, what do you mean? Because I would speak Spanish.
Yeah, but not to me. What do you mean? You'd have to.
I think it was easier to just speak English. Because
no.
I don't know.
I'm curious, but there has to be a reason, because grandma found it important to teach. That's the only reason I know I speak Spanish. It's not because of you guys. It's because of grandma.
Right.
Right. She made a point to actually teach it to me. And it's interesting that you guys never felt the need to do so.
I don't know. I felt that learning the Spanish language was important.
Right.
I really thought I was by speaking Spanish in the house.
Yeah.
Whether it was with your father or your grandmother.
Right.
Not maybe not actually to you. Maybe it was easier for me just to speak English to you, only because I felt you weren't understanding what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, it was easier for me just to speak English.
All right, we'll get more into that in a second. I just wanted to start with the most important thing.
So what about your father? Maybe he especially that he was born and raised in Puerto Rico.
Right, you throw him under the bus. We'll get into it in a second. I want to first just start when it comes to parenthood, because I was going to make it more about not feeling like I had a real connection to my culture necessarily growing up. But we will get into that. But I also want to, I thought there was a bigger conversation that I noticed just as I've gotten older, that we put a lot of blame on our parents for things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody really, there's no handbook to being a parent,
right?
No. And everybody's kind of doing the best that they can. So, I mean, for you guys, did you feel prepared? Like when you were having, you know, your first kid, did you feel prepared for it?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody's really prepared to be a parent.
Yeah.
You kind of have an idea of some of the responsibilities, you know, that you need to, that you have.
Right.
You know, taking care of a baby, feeding the baby, making sure if the baby gets sick or just... making sure that you educate them and that you teach them right from wrong.
Right.
But I think you learn it as time goes by, you know? So I don't believe that I can't say that you're really prepared when you're a parent for the first time.
Right.
For the second time, it's a little easier.
Right. But what about on a deeper level when it comes to, I guess, because you have to learn, I guess, from your own parents, and that's good and bad, right? The good and the bad.
Yes.
I mean, you're both products of divorce.
Right.
So was that a part of your thinking, like when you're starting a family? Like, did that have any effect, do you think, when it came to raising me and my sister?
Yeah, to me it does, because you want to be able to succeed where your parents didn't.
Right.
And you're trying to be more careful and pay attention to those areas where they were not successful in doing it.
Right. So, but for me coming up, and I mean, what I want to ask you guys is, I was the untraditional one of your kids as far as my career choice, right? And my path that I was going down. And I think I'll preface it by saying it was never like I wouldn't have a place to stay or that I wasn't allowed to play my music as loud as I wanted to and all those different things. But what I will say is, for me, I never got that confidence in being able to make it in a creative field. So I don't think I've ever really asked you guys, but what was the fear? Because obviously I think it's fear as a parent probably, right? That of somebody going down a path like this that is so unorthodox and not traditional? Or what was it that you guys couldn't kind of wrap your head around for it?
I think one was I felt stability.
Mm-hmm.
I felt drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I always somehow stereotyped that if you're in that field with music and around so many people, that it led to drugs, because that's what I was exposed to in my own youth.
Right.
I would see all musicians. Oh, and I would hear it on the news. This one overdosed. So they're on drugs. So I basically was trying to, I felt that I needed to protect you from that.
Right.
You know, I saw, you know, that you this is where you had your passion. I knew it. I was afraid of it.
Right.
Because I felt like, what kind of job is he going to have?
Mm-hmm.
Will he be able to take care of himself?
Right.
Will he be able to take care of family?
Right.
You know, those are the things that I was insecure about,
mm-hmm.
which is why I supported you,
right.
but hoping that you'll give up.
Right.
You understand? Yeah. That's how I looked at it. Well, yeah. let's support him because it's probably just a phase
right.
That he's going through.
Right.
But that was my fear. It was basically drugs
mm-hmm.
and the idea of not having stability, that I felt these jobs were not forever.
Right.
You know, so that was basically my fear.
Yeah, and also on my end, it's just that I came from a home where education was a must, mm-hmm. okay? A college degree, because that would open opportunities for you and be able to succeed in society, be able to achieve what you wanted economically and then with a family.
Right. But I think we have to understand that college is not necessarily for everybody and not every profession. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it certain professions, of course, you want to be a teacher, you want to be an engineer, you want to be a doctor.
Right.
You have to go to college. But I think for me, it was a struggle mentally, you know what I mean, to keep my confidence up, because I think in this industry there's no shortage of people who are closing the door on you and telling you you're not good enough, this is not for you, you're not going to make it. You know, a lot of egos, a lot of people who don't want to help you out, don't want to extend a hand. And then to be at home as well and not feel like you had people who were in your corner to a degree when it came to feeding you that confidence to keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult. And I can't really think of why or what it was that kept me going, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, it's
which I understand. I'm not blaming you. I do understand.
But I also, like, as he said,
yeah.
That I felt education was very important.
Sure.
And I pushed for that.
Right.
And the reason I said I always felt it was a backup plan.
Right.
That if, God forbid, this doesn't happen, that you have something to say, okay, I have a degree in business or I have a degree in whatever field. You know, that's why I kept pushing college. More that if this didn't work out,
right.
you're not going to stay just, you know, without a future,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I felt, what's so wrong about having a backup plan?
Right. And I think it's, again, how you grew up.
Right.
I mean, it's
right.
passed down.
Right.
You know? And even
right.
in high school, you know, that's what I was taught was
right.
everybody has to go to college. Those right. kids who didn't go to college, we looked at them like, man, what are they doing with their life? You know
right.
what I mean? So
yeah.
it kind of society teaches all of us that.
Right.
It's a different way of, you know, the eras that you're talking
right.
about. I have to say that when you were, you know, started doing these internships with the stations and doing all these things, we supported that. I mean, we wanted, if that's what you wanted to do and you
yeah,
were happy.
It took you a little bit to come around, though. Don't try to get on the podcast.
It was hard.
It took a while. I think what helped us come around is that we saw how you were succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
That you are, I felt like, okay, he's going to be fine. I saw how hard you were working, the time, the mm-hmm. effort that you put into this, that only somebody who really loves this type of work
exactly.
would do.
Right.
So we saw
because
that.
It's hard. It's
because
not
it's
easy.
It's very hard. It's a lot of competition, you know, and things like that. And I think we started coming around with every success that you had.
But was there one success, like one threshold that you guys felt like, okay, I think he actually is going to be fine? Is there one thing?
I think I would say that just being hired
mm-hmm.
in radio stations that takes years for someone to even get a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you got the job at the Breakfast Club,
mm-hmm.
you know, I found that was big.
Mm-hmm.
When you said you were also working for Z100,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's big. This is New York.
Right.
You know, and that's when I started saying,
Which part of Z100, though? On air or DJing?
On air.
So that was a year ago.
Yeah. But before that was the Breakfast Club.
Right. But that, okay.
A couple of years ago.
But that, I mean, I just point that out because I think any kid that might be listening, anybody that is like following their passion, this, you're talking about over 10 years of me going, yeah, it took 10 years for them to realize this might actually be a job.
Right.
So
right.
that, you know, and I'm not discrediting because it's not something you guys are familiar with, you know, mm-hmm. Or yeah, you're not familiar with this industry to understand the benchmarks and how big right. certain things right. actually are. You know right. what I mean? And that's something I think you have to cut your parents some slack because it's something I held on to for a while. Like, why don't they realize how big of a deal it is? But if you're not working in this, you don't realize how difficult these actual steps are. You just mm-hmm. kind of see it as just another thing, you know, or.
But I think that's what I said, that I did see, mm-hmm. you know, that this took a, this was hard work. This right. was not just someone who just came in. Oh, okay, let's hire this person. Right. I felt that you were hired because they saw your skill. They recognized yes. that you had the skill,
right.
that you had not just the skill, but you had the passion for
mm-hmm.
it.
Exactly.
Right. The same, because when you have a passion for something, mm-hmm. you're going to do a good job because yeah. you love what you do.
Yes. You were meant to do this.
You were meant to do this, you know? And of course, yes, you were meant to do this. It took probably, you know, a long time. A few years,
yeah.
you know, for me to realize, you know, Danny's really making it, you know?
Mm.
You know, the things that I read, you know, that people send you. I think also I find that you're an inspiration for other young yes. kids that are coming up that feel that, oh, no one will hire me. Oh, I feel like I can't do it.
Mm.
You know, so I think that you have become also an inspiration for others.
Mm. We need more Dannys. Like,
Danny's just my real name, people, by the way.
We need more Dannys like yourself that are out there. And
it took us a few years to realize
and,
it.
And do this because... look, it's right now we have in the radio a group of people who are aging,
mm-hmm.
okay, who are basically trying to stick for whatever it's worth
mm-hmm.
to the same script. And we need this new young generation to move on and move in and basically set themselves so they could serve as examples to other kids, other that new generation that is waiting to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your passion for setting up things, you do your own production, the equipment is not easy, plugging things together, you know, that takes time, skill, and passion. You mm-hmm. know, you learn all these things on your own. Obviously, there were people that were willing to help you and teach you how to do it,
mm-hmm.
but it takes interest. And when they see that interest, they were nice enough to give you that opportunity.
But I also want to mention that even though we had this fear,
right. mm-hmm.
we still supported you.
Right.
Absolutely.
Just to think, when I think back, when we had like 10 teenagers or 7 teenage boys sleeping in my basement for a month.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. And
when you were producing this band.
Right. Yeah. So we did support you.
Right.
But we just had the fear, you know, that what happens if this doesn't happen?
Right.
You know,
and no, I mean, and listen, to your credit, that's all 100% true. And that's something I'm forever grateful for. And even things like letting me sell the things in your house for a garage sale so I can afford to press the next round of CDs and things
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you guys definitely did help me out. I think it was just, you know, on an emotional level because of just how taxing all of this was, this whole ride and this whole journey is.
Mm-hmm.
That was always something that weighed kind of heavy up me, I guess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, you know, I understand it now that I've gotten older and it's difficult because I wasn't making money for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I couldn't support myself for a very long time, you know. So I don't see how you can continue to push somebody to do something, you know, not seeing any real results for that long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. All right, we got more of my parents coming up. Let's take a quick break first, though. But I do want to revisit the Spanish speaking thing real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because the irony is my father's born and raised in Puerto Rico. My mom is born and raised in New York. My dad loves to point out that people are New Yorkans, like my mother and myself. Yet he contributed to basically making me a New Yorkan by not actually properly teaching me the culture. And to his credit, we did go to Puerto Rico a lot when I was younger. Every summer, spent a lot of time there. I know a lot about the island and the culture because of him. But at the same time, it's weird to me that in our house, we didn't practice certain traditions that he grew up with, like, you know, Three Kings and all these different things. And then obviously speaking Spanish is a whole nother thing. But why did you not push harder to bring that to the household?
Basically, I compromised. Let's put it that way.
So it's her fault.
He's going to blame me.
I always wanted to have the nativity.
Okay.
The nativity. And,
he did.
And I also had these conversations with your mother.
Yeah,
that,
he did.
That was very important, that that was the part of the culture. And
right.
not doing that, it was like basically detaching yourself and becoming more Americanized, whatever that means.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's true.
So that
he did,
that's
he did bring it up
know.
A couple of times.
I feel hey, I make myself responsible for compromising that way. The other thing is that I have to say that I also the language thing was basically in my mind, maybe was that I thought that maybe my mother was making a better job mm-hmm. in teaching you Spanish, that you were speaking Spanish, you know, during the week. And then but also with myself, maybe I wanted to be, practice it more, the English more.
But okay, so that's my
and
thing.
You guys were my
but when you say
my lab,
when you said
lab rats,
why didn't you teach us, teach me?
Yeah.
Why
didn't my sister as well, by the way.
Right, your sister too.
Yeah.
But I don't understand it, what that really means in a way, because you heard the language. Like you understood everything,
right? That but that's we because would of speak. But that's because of my grandmother.
But we spoke Spanish
to
too.
Each other. You didn't speak it to me, though. I think, and I think that's what the difference. And then I remember when I would try to speak Spanish, you guys would laugh at me. So my confidence in it was a little bit shaken.
Right.
But you guys would make a point to speak to each other, but you wouldn't speak to me in Spanish.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the the disconnect. And what's interesting, and that's like the basis of the podcast is being a gringo, but. It's because I would get made fun of so much. Like they would call me a fake Puerto Rican. You know what I mean? Even the white people would call me a fake Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and it's like this thing of if you don't speak Spanish, you're being judged by everybody. You know what I mean? And even family, when we would go back to Puerto Rico, would judge the fact that your kids did not speak Spanish.
Yes.
So it's interesting to me that you never made it such a point to, you know, teach me.
But it's never late. It's never late. You're still young. You have plenty of opportunities.
I'm trying
to, absorb that culture.
Right.
It's a big move, and you haven't detached yourself from it.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't assimilated to the what they call again the American American way. So you still preserved it. Whether I contributed to that a little bit or not. You still have it. You still have that passion. You love Puerto Rico. You like to go there. You like to share with people there. And it's good, and it's just a matter of you applying yourself a little bit more with the Spanish and you'll be fine. The thing with, I just want to clarify with the New Yorican thing.
Yeah, what's your problem with New Yorkans?
It's just that...
what's your problem with New Yorkers?
You married one.
Exactly.
No, and it's fine. I mean, I admire a lot of the so-called New Yorkers, but your mother was special in the sense that she kept a lot of the Puerto Rican culture. The food, everything. Basically.
But you're still down talking New Yorkans like she was one of the only ones.
The only criticism that I have is that it's not just saying that you're Puerto Rican, but you have to immerse yourself in the culture.
Okay.
Okay. And that's one thing that it's not only the language, although the language is very important and essential in order to absorb everything from that culture, but it's also knowing what's going on in the island.
Right.
Okay. Knowing who's the governor, what the legislature is doing down there. If you want to be part of that culture.
Right.
So when you go there, it would be like a seamless transition that you go back and forth and you're able to share with people experiences down there. You know what's happening down there. So anything that happens as far as topics, conversations, cultural, you're up to par with what's going on down there.
But to push back, though, a lot of people from the island aren't welcoming with open arms New Yorkans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're looked down upon them. And
the reason for that is because they feel somehow offended that it's too Americanized.
Sure.
So
you don't speak the language, knowing that you are a Hispanic.
And you're trying to change their culture. You're trying to invade their space, their cultural space, and change it to something that is not defined.
Right. But what I don't understand, you have to understand also, though, that as somebody who grew up in New York City, that's as much a part of me as Puerto Rico is. So to think that I wouldn't adapt any of that culture is unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's fine. You know, you have a point there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, you have to strike a balance as far as what they think over there.
Right.
Also, right now they're going through a period where they're basically defining what they want to be.
Right.
Okay, so, and at this point, just to put it out there, okay, they're saying, I love my culture. I am not giving my culture away.
Sure.
We're Puerto Ricans. Whether you accept me or not, I'm still with my culture.
Right, because we're talking about independence or,
you know,
the
options. They're more defined, you know, right. They're more defined. And so what they're saying is, when you come to us, we accept all the advances, because you know, a lot of things down there in Puerto Rico are the same thing that you have here. You have your same type of retail stores.
Well, that's not weird. You're about to turn this into a commercial for Puerto Rico tourism.
But hey, but I'm just saying that
we know it's great.
You go down there. The only thing that you have to come with is an open mind,
right,
to accept what they, how they live.
Right.
They're a little bit more laid back, you know, and more into socializing, you know, having a social life. And here it's a little bit different. You know, you have basically not much socialization unless you're with a group of people that are, you know, have to do with that. You're a big group.
Right. But there has to be this recognition that you're doing more harm than good by trying to divide the culture, essentially, right? Because you have people like AOC who are in Congress and actually doing the work, yet she would be considered a New Yorker.
A New Yorker.
And I've heard people over there through friends who live on the island and are super, you know, into pro-independence that don't even want her speaking on Puerto Rico, yet she's trying to do the work. She's the person who actually can try and push things to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a balance that you recognize. It's still one of your own that you're talking about over there.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they didn't grow up on the island and maybe their Spanish isn't perfect or whatever the case may be, there's still a part of that culture at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely. And you got me thinking, and that's why, you know, when I talk about these topics, I try to be as open-minded as possible, but at the same time explain what they, how they think.
Are you going to stop calling people, differentiating people New Yorkers? Because he's the king of, if it's on the news that a Puerto Rican did something bad, oh, that must have been a New Yorker.
Yes.
It couldn't possibly have been somebody from the island.
Yes.
But so that's just, you can't let go of that for some reason. exactly. All right. So, one thing I was asking people on Instagram to answer, and we'll get into that next, was, but I want to ask you guys, what is, one thing that you wish you learned from your parents?
I think, to be honest with you, more, I would say is probably life.
Mm.
I think I was brought up almost like in a bubble.
Right.
Okay. So there was not much I was exposed to.
Very strict.
Very strict. Right. You know, I really didn't have friends. Mm-hmm. I was allowed to go out, you know, if I needed to go out to see a movie, I had to be with an adult.
Mm.
So my life was controlled. So what happens that when you reach a certain age and now you're out there,
right,
it's almost like you're lost.
Mm.
So really, I was learning just from my mistakes in life.
Yeah.
You know, I never knew like things that you need to watch out for,
sure,
you know, other people, just things in life.
Right. You're very naive when you
very naive, very naive. You know, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, which I think I try to do with my own children, where I cannot bring them up the way I was brought up.
But you still had some time.
But I still had some, you know, limitations.
Yeah. Or I think even not knowing it, there were certain parts of you that were extra strict.
Yes. Just
because you were brought, you couldn't shake that.
Right.
That completely, thing you were taught. Right. It's hard to get rid of that.
Completely.
Yeah.
I felt that because of course you don't realize it till you become a parent yourself.
Yeah.
That although there were so many things from my parents I didn't agree, I knew when I had my children that they were trying to protect me.
Yeah.
But that's not the best way to protect, because you also have to protect them from life out there that when they step foot in the street or in the in life out there,
they can handle
that. They can handle themselves.
Yeah,
you understand.
Well, I will. You definitely were stricter than all of my friends growing up, but I think looking back, I'm grateful for it because I think I didn't end up in a lot of the trouble that my friends did.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that time that I was forced to stay home was, I also ended up using that to teach myself about the things that I'm doing now. Mm, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I was on the computer learning about, you know, musicians and the music industry and like trying to teach myself to record things and whatever it was, just because I had no choice but to be home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as frustrating as it was at certain times and as excessive as it might have been at certain times,
but,
I think I am grateful for it because I think it definitely gave me a really good kind of moral, you know, code to go by when I got older.
Mm-hmm.
And also the time at home put me really focused on my passions, I think, and finding my passion pretty early on, even though it took a long time for me to get any success from it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew early on that music was something that I loved, and I got to nurture that by being home, you know, so much.
Right.
But what about you, Dad?
In the sense that the things that I missed from when I was growing up, it was stability in the home, in the sense that parents.
Yeah.
For example, my father was very successful in having a business. Yeah. He had a big jewelry store in Bayamón, Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And at a very early age in his life, in his early 30s, he was thriving economically. He had everything that he wanted.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is that if you're not mature enough to accept your success,
mm-hmm.
And basically channel that successful way of monetizing what you're doing, then you're going to be a failure. You're going to fail in something eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that...
So you think he failed as a parent?
As a parent, yes, because he didn't prioritize with his family. That's why you need a balance in life.
Yeah.
Because you could be successful, very successful at what you like, and you know you have the skill for, but then other equally important things like family, it's dropped, and you should not be able, you know, you should not give one thing for the other.
Yeah.
You could balance things out, and because of that, I guess I missed the opportunity because as a young kid. I wanted to become also a successful business person, and I liked the environment of jewelry and all that. It interests me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if I would have been able to change things, I would have wished that they would have gotten their act together as far as to soften their differences and prioritize the family.
What did you learn from this? Is the question.
I learned that that's important.
Mm.
That both parents, when they're raising their kids, their family, they both have equal responsibilities, and they have to pay attention to their kids' interests.
Basically, you wish that your father was around to nurture some of those early interests that you had, and kind of help you go down a path of exploring them. Because even though, you know, what you're saying about how you guys were there for me. You were there for me. It's, you know, you drove me to get drum lessons on the Saturdays, and you know, every Saturday and things like that. So you're saying you definitely did help me nurture that, even if you didn't understand it and didn't get it completely.
Mm-hmm.
There was still allowing that you allowed me to explore that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you gave me the tools as far as, you know, I wasn't able to drive myself at that age. You gave me the tools and gave me your time, sacrificed your time to allow me to explore these interests. Mm-hmm. So that's what you wish that you had from your father.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Well, I want to say you guys did great raising me. I appreciate you guys. And I think, what's something when you look at myself and my sister, this is the last question, I mean, that you are proud of as a parent collectively when you look at us? What's one thing you guys feel like you did right? The big thing.
The big thing.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you know, I'm very proud of both of you. You know, just caring for others, your moral values, family, because family to me is very important. So I feel that I think I have embedded that in you, that family is very important. And just, I mean, I'm proud for so many things, you know, just you striving, you know, I'm very proud how you knew what you wanted and you went for it and did not allow anything to hold you back, even including us.
Mm.
You knew what you wanted and you were going for it. And no matter who thought what, you were going for the, what you thought is what you wanted, your passion, and nothing was going to get in your way. And for that, I'm very proud of you that, you know, because sometimes that's how we make mistakes, that we think we're helping, but in reality, we're not, because we're not allowing you to grow and find what it is that you're looking for.
Right.
And I felt, I feel that you found what you were looking for. And I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very appreciative and grateful to God that they were able to acquire and learn the basics of life, how to be good, you know, kids, you know, be respectful to their parents, listen to us. They turned it to beautiful, you know, adults.
That includes my daughter, who one of the things that I'm most proud of is what she's turned out to be as a parent.
Yes.
You know, she's an excellent mother, you know, and those are things that we also, I felt, we demonstrated as you guys growing up, just being there for you. You understand, giving some time, even though we were busy, we were working.
Yeah.
We still gave you guys time to at least know that we love you and that we're there for you. And
for sure.
So both of you have turned out, I say it all the time, kids that I'm very, very proud of.
Yeah, we're very proud. They achieved what they wanted to do. They both are in the field that they like, which is, you know, in these days, very rare. And it's something to be proud. I mean, I would always feel proud of both of them because they were able to achieve what they wanted. And, and like I said, it's very rare these days. But like I said, I feel very proud of my kids. And that's one thing that I would always take with me, no matter where I go, because I feel that as a human being, as a parent, I succeeded to bring kids that are able, that care about the society, and they try their best to apply it and give other kids the encouragement that they need in order also to change this world.
That's beautiful. I love you guys.
I love you too.
And thank you guys for hopping on the podcast.
Yes.
All right. Whew. All right. Now that that's over with, let's take some questions from you guys, man. I put this out there to my Instagram followers. You want to be a part of it at DJ Dramos. I'll do it twice a week. We're doing two episodes a week. So twice a week, I'll be asking your input on different topics. So if you want to be a part of that, then let's get into it, man. Ask a gringo.
Ask a gringo.
I have a question. All right. So this is probably one of my favorite parts of the show because I get to just interact with people and kind of hear their perspective. So a bunch of you guys answered this, so I put out the question to my followers, what is something that you wish your parents taught you? And I got a ton of responses on here. I'm going to try to go through a few of them. Depending on the topic, sometimes it'll be like, you know, you asking me for an opinion. Other times I might ask you. But yeah, this one, I wanted to just hear other people's things, like if it was similar to my feedback or my story, or if there's other things that I didn't think of. And what's interesting is, a lot of us like harbor some of the same thing that we wish our parents showed us. I'll read a few of them. This one I got from a few different people, and it was basically like money and credit and saving and finances, you know, like economics and financial literacy. I saw, what is it? eMoney4 said that, just call me Pat. There was a few. Twink said, as a first generation immigrant child, I wish it would have taught me that it's okay to invest in the motherland as long as it's for business and to give back to people. Yeah, I agree. That's the same thing. I mean, I've taken an interest in real estate as I've kind of, you know, gotten into a little bit more of a fortunate place in my life. And like Puerto Rico is definitely on my radar of somewhere I want to invest in real estate wise. And it's something I wish that, you know, my parents were a little bit more hip to, you know, prior to that, we could have potentially done some investments, you know, when I was a little bit younger. But yeah, definitely, you know, I think a lot of people's stuff is surrounded by like economics and you know, and finances and all those different things. That's kind of like the biggest one that I saw. Jaywalk said, don't be afraid of who you are. Be proud, own it, F the haters. That's what they're wishing their parents taught them. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting. And I can relate to this a lot. And I kind of feel like, you know, speaking on behalf of my parents, for a lot of parents, you know, it's easier for them to kind of like want their kids maybe fit in a little bit more just because life would be slightly easier for them, especially when you're talking about like the phases of life that are like high school and middle school, even younger, whatever. You know, the kids who stood out in those time periods, like those are the kids that got made fun of, that got clowned, you know. And ironically, a lot of those kids end up being the ones to go on and do a bunch of really incredible things in life just because they kind of know themselves at a very young age and are super creative. But yeah, I mean, I think that as difficult as it would be to like send your kids to school knowing that they're going to get like fucked with by other little dumb kids, you know, throughout their day for being different, dressing different. You know, I think it's important to give kids that confidence at a young age that, you know, no matter what they're into, no matter what they look like, whatever the case may be, like, it's okay to be different. It's actually incredible to like be your own individual and don't worry about what other people say. So definitely like something I would love to take with me when I have a kid and just like embrace their uniqueness and their weirdness, you know? I really like this one from I think it's Adriana with a whole bunch of underscores and a three at the end. She said, I'm Mexican, so grew up in a very machista household. And for anybody who's Spanish is worse than mine is, that means male chauvinist, basically. And yeah, I think that this is such a common thing in our community. You know what I mean? And we're seeing it. There's even like so many kind of cases of like women being abused and not getting justice in Puerto Rico and places like that. And that's not just exclusive to Puerto Rico, but just following the news over there. And yeah, this is definitely something that needs to be addressed. And you know, we have to correct this as that next generation. Like, hey, this isn't going to be tolerated. You know what I mean? Like, we have to respect our women and they're not lesser than, you know, I think a lot of times in, unfortunately, the Latin household, you know, the male is like the breadwinner and like, you know, it's like acceptable for the male to talk down to his wife, you know, and women are like just looked at as kind of like here to serve the men, you know what I mean? To like make sure the house is kept up and to cook and clean. And they don't really have a say in anything. They don't handle the money or any of that kind of stuff, you know? And these are really toxic traits of our community that need to be corrected. So yeah, I'm glad that you're looking at the world that way. And I hope that that's something that our generation really begins to correct because it's much needed. All right, last one. And this one's actually really good because it's something my mom was kind of talking about. Sully underscore T underscore 85 said, grew up with very closed-minded parents. So everything from sex to money. I was naive till high school. Yeah, I think it's funny. My mom said the same kind of thing about, you know, not being prepared essentially to go out into the world. But of course, your parents want to protect you from things, you know, and I think that in their mind, the less you know or the less you experience, you know, the better off you are, the safer you are, right? But the reality is that, you know, you can't go into the world living in this bubble or, you know, or the world won't, you know, attack you or treat you with kid gloves. You know what I mean? Like at some point in time, you're going to have to go out there into the real world. And if you don't know how to handle yourself in various situations out there, you know, you're going to get eaten alive or you're going to have a really tough go at it. I can remember being at like a church one time. I went to my parents' church once randomly just to make them happy. But my relationship with church is a whole nother thing. But I can remember the preacher kind of talking about like nightclubs and all these different things. And I obviously hit close to home to me because I'm a DJ. But I'm also a DJ who I feel like has a great, you know, moral compass. And I try to be a good person, you know what I mean? And I've never been someone who's like into drugs or anything like that. You know, for me, drinking is as far as I go. And like even weed, I've never just been into it, you know. I've never done anything aside from, you know, smoking weed. That's all my experimentation has been, you know, smoking weed and drinking. Like I said, weed has never been something I've rather enjoyed. So I've always kind of stayed away from it. But the preacher basically was saying like, oh, these places are so terrible. The drugs, the alcohol, the temptation. We must teach our kids to stay away from all these terrible places. And it's like, yeah, I guess like in theory, something like that sounds okay. But bro, like you can't protect these fucking kids from everything in the world. You know what I mean? Like to me, what creates a more well-adjusted kid and one who is going to fare better is one that even in the face of this, you know, these terrible things, in the face of adversity or in the face of temptation, can look at it and still not lose themselves in that. To me, that's what you should be teaching, because that's not impossible. And to teach kids that it's impossible to have self-control in those moments, to me, it is just not helpful. Like, listen, you know, I working in the industry that I work in, like, I've seen some shit. You know what I mean? Like, I've been around some stuff that really goes against everything I believe in, you know, and I've been able to keep myself away from those things. I've been able to walk out of situations, you know, that put me in an uncomfortable place that, you know, are situations with people doing things that I don't agree in. I've been able to walk away from that regardless of who it is or what I'm doing, you know, and I've been able to find success and exist in a world that has a lot of these temptations or these immoral things. And still not allow it to kind of like erode my moral cornerstones, if you will. And I'm not saying it's easy, but man, it's definitely unavoidable to, you know, expect somebody to live their entire life and not get into like some weird sort of situation. You know, I think that the best approach is to just prepare them to make the right decisions in those cases. My humble, you know, non-kid having opinion, I guess I should say. And with that, thank y'all so much for submitting those questions. If you want to be a part of it for Thursday's episode, just peep my Instagram. I usually post it in the stories at DJ Dramos, and you will see that I'm putting the question out there or putting a spot out there for you to ask me a question on whatever topic I'm covering. And you could be a part of the show as well. And as we get ready to close out the show, we'll get into conclusion stew, where I kind of sum everything we've learned up from this episode.
Time for conclusion stew.
All right, so this segment is called conclusion stew, and that's basically where we just take everything we've learned from this episode, everything we've discussed, and we will put it in a nice, neat little bow to summarize it all, I guess. Man, this has definitely been a bit of a roller coaster ride of an episode for me. I you probably can't tell because I was like, you know, biting my lip and holding it in, but definitely towards the end of the conversation with my parents, I was getting a little bit emotional, a little bit choked up, hearing them just talk about things and hearing, you know, stories from when they were kids, and also just hearing about, you know, what they thought about my journey and what their mindset was along the way of raising me and you know, what they think of, you know, the man that I am today, as well as, you know, the woman that my sister is today. And it's just a beautiful thing. I think I challenge you, you know, if you're blessed enough that your parents are around to have these kind of conversations, like push yourself to have this conversation with your parents. I think for people like myself who have maybe been holding on to certain things, harboring certain resentments, you know, for whatever reason, talking it out, man, as corny as it sounds and as like, you know, like, oh, that's like the advice everybody says, obviously. You know, I think that it really does help, man. Like, I can't tell you, I kind of feel a little bit more at peace, just like really knowing more about my parents. Like, some of those stories like that they share, like that my dad shared and my mom shared, are it's like shit that I didn't understand. I didn't know that. I had no idea that that was part of their upbringing, you know what I mean? And even just hearing from their mouth kind of like why they did certain things the way that they did it, and then also knowing like them being able to kind of admit like, hey, like, you know, you proved us wrong and we're proud of you, you know, it feels really, really good. And I hope that all of us can kind of get to a place of like forgiveness, you know, for our parents. And rather than like holding on to certain things, and obviously like my story is not like a traumatic one, thank God, you know, other people have had really terrible experiences when it comes to their parents or their family, my heart goes out to you, but I think definitely trying to find some peace in that, and even at the very least, if you can't necessarily find forgiveness right now at this moment, I think just understanding that people are really doing just the best that they can, you know, I know we all grow up looking at our parents like having it all figured out, you know what I mean, like, or at least we feel like they should have it all figured out, or that they're superheroes, you know what I mean, or that they know everything, and I just think the reality is, man, they're just like scared shitless about life just like the rest of us to a degree, you know, they just have to put on like a better front than us as kids, you know what I mean, like, because they have to, you know, give away this sort of this like idea or this feeling of like strength, you know, for us to feel comfortable. But the reality is like they were just trying to figure it out, just like you and I are just trying to figure it out right now. So I think giving our parents some grace, man, that's kind of like my whole takeaway from this whole thing. You know, they were doing the best with what they had, you know, and what they knew. And it's up to us to, you know, give them that grace and that forgiveness, and to also take these lessons that we've learned from what they did do or didn't do, and hopefully use them as tools for us to be better for the next generation. And to understand just how important that is for all of us in the minority community, you know, we all have to do our part to help lift ourselves up as a culture, and to make sure our voices are being heard and that we are giving ourselves the best opportunities to be empowered, you know, in this crazy, crazy world that we live in. Man, this kind of fucked up country that we live in as well, man. We got to do our part to take control of things and breaking those generational curses is such a huge, huge first step. And with that said, if y'all want to follow me at DJ Dramos on everything, and then YouTube, man, I do my weekly vlogs on there. It's Dramos Official. We'll be doing this podcast every single Tuesday and Thursday. So twice a week, get ready to tune in. Make sure you subscribe and all that good stuff. And man, until then, I will catch y'all next time.
Peace.
Life as a Gringo is a production of the Michael Dura Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.